You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So I turn on last night Kentucky-Oakland. And my first thought is, I mean, you know, think you maybe an upset, who knows? But you're looking at the size difference for the most part of the frontline guys on Kentucky, and you're thinking these poor kids got no chance. And then the way the game starts, Oakland can't hit a shot to save their lives. They start, I think they started 0-for-8, but
they were nervous.
But Kentucky was having trouble making shots too, and so it's 2-0. It's 2-0. We're 4 minutes into the game, and then finally Oakland hits a three, and then the game kind of settles in. And you talk about how the three has really evened things out. So Oakland's got this kid, Jack Golke, who there's no one, unless you've covered Oakland, has ever heard of him. And you know why you've never heard of him?
Yeah.
He's a fifth year, maybe even a sixth year graduate student player.
He looks like he should be a professor at the school.
He's 24 years old.
I mean, he looks old.
But do you have any idea where he played his first 4 years of college basketball after he redshirted his freshman season? Some Division II private school, to where if you look up his stats, he has none. Because I guess they only keep Division I stats. So I'm looking at him like, what the hell is this?
The school's got to have stats.
They do. My point is, if you look him up,
okay,
you're going to see his stats, and it will say his career stats is 32 games. I'm like, well, how is that possible? He's a graduate student. So then you look deeper into it. He played at a Division II school, and those stats aren't kept on the website I was looking at. Then you look into his numbers from last night, and if you watch the highlights or watch the game, he hit seven threes, seven in the first half. And Boomer, if you didn't see it, and anybody out there that didn't see it, these weren't wide open shots. They were leaving him alone. This kid is falling left
in
the air.
They were all over him.
They were all over him. And that is the type of thing that evens things out. And then on top of it,
yeah,
Kentucky, who scores the most points in the country, who shoots threes at the highest clip of any team in the country, whose field goal position... field goal percentage is like third in the country, couldn't make routine shots that they usually do make, and next thing you know, you're locked into a battle, and bye-bye go the Kentucky
Jerry,
Wildcats.
What do I always tell you about basketball?
Live by the three, die by the three.
Right, or it's a make or miss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Couple minutes on, if you don't mind, on the Kansas-Samford game. Now, you had Samford yesterday.
I did.
And that was one of the picks that I think you went 1-3, but you were very close on a couple, and this one in particular. I know officiating's hard. I totally understand how fast these games go. I know when you're an umpire in baseball, plays are really quick, and in the NFL, guys are stronger, faster, more physical than ever, and I know how difficult it is.
And there's 22 of them on the field.
That too. The game last night, and I give the Samford head coach all the credit in the world, he didn't blame the officiating, and I'm not saying they would have won the game, but there are two things down the stretch in this game that drive you bonkers if you're watching it. Hell, if you're betting it, you might even be even more crazy if you bet Samford to win on the money line. So clearly they covered, all good, whatever, close game. So I take you into the final couple of minutes, and it's a back-and-forth game. The game's within 1, 2, 3, 4 points. At this point I'm bringing up to you, Kansas has the ball up by I think they're up two, and there's like a minute or so left. They inbound the ball to Hunter Dickinson, who I'm very familiar with from his time at Michigan. Hunter Dickinson, right before they throw the ball into the front court for a breakaway dunk, literally takes his elbow right into the chest of the defender. Nothing's called. Okay, we're going to let them play. Fair enough, fine. Turns into two the other way for Kansas, or turns into two for Kansas. They go up four. Samford comes back, hits a three. They're within one. And then, of course, they're pressing. And then you get a breakaway opportunity the other way. They've just cut it to one. The Samford defender gets as clean a block on the play as you will ever see, preventing the dunk and the 2 points. They get the rebound, but we got a whistle and we got a foul. Now, you want to tell me it's because the kid hit the court hard? Well, maybe if he doesn't hang on the rim and had all the momentum going, he wouldn't have fell as hard as he did.
Yeah, he wasn't hit at all.
He wasn't touched by the defender. The hand wasn't touched. It's a clean block. Samford has the ball with 14 seconds to go, down one, and instead you get two free throws. They go up three. Samford now
they got screwed.
They had an opportunity to tie. They missed the three. But, I mean, again, I know it's difficult. But if you're going to swallow the whistle on one end, you got to swallow the whistle on the other. And that's not fair.
Well, and actually, the kid wasn't even touched.
No.
It's one thing to swallow the whistle if you see that there's contact in some way, shape, or form. But in this particular case and in this particular play, the Kansas player was never touched.
Nope.
And the reason that he fell backward and hit on the floor is because his momentum took him off the rim. He was trying to hang on the rim, and his finger slipped, and that's why he fell. I mean, but that's the way these games go, man. You know, when they're tight like this at the end.
You know what the problem with that answer is? And it's the right answer. But the problem with that answer is people's jobs are on the line. Now, not the Samford coach. I'm not saying him. They great what they did. I'm sure they'll be celebrated for the run they gave Kansas. I'm not saying that. But when you make bad calls and bad moments like that, it does, in certain cases, have people's jobs being taken from them.
Look what happened with Manasquan and Camden.
Hunter, absolutely.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, like, it's almost the same thing. This was a judgment call.
But this is worse. It's on a higher level.
Yeah, and I think that because the Kansas player fell so hard on the court after slipping off the rim that the referee thought that there had to be contact, when in actuality there was no contact whatsoever, and it was a perfect play by the Samford player.
I agree, except if you watch the game, the announcers immediately, like they were there, they're courtside, the announcers on CBS, or whatever network it was on, immediately tell you, that's clean. And then they go to Gene Steratore within 15 seconds. Hey, Gene, what do you see there? He's like, yeah, guys, I agree with you. There's nothing there. So while you're right, it happened quick. It looked bad. There were at least people that were sitting there watching it in live action that were 30 feet from it that also saw the same thing that replay showed. There's no whistle. There's not a foul there. And again, Samford's losing. They're down by one. It's not like they would have won the game. I don't know if they would or if they wouldn't have. But I will tell you that down one with the ball, Kansas tightens up a little bit, and perhaps needing two as opposed to a three to tie changes things. And maybe Kansas is heading home like Kentucky is. So I don't know. It's just, I see it all the time. It's a problem in terms of the inconsistencies with the way games are officiated. I do it with Rutgers at the Big Ten. I sit courtside a lot. And you sit there and say, like, what are you guys watching? And this is the other thing that drives you crazy if you're a sports fan. When the game is officiated different at different times of the games. Like, if you're going to let them play in the first half, let them play. You've established the way the game is going to be called. You can't all of a sudden, with 10 minutes to go, now start calling this and calling that. Well, whereas an hour ago, it wasn't a foul.
I agree with everything that you've just said here. But this is a particular instance where it was a call by a referee who thought he saw something and he didn't, and he impacted the outcome of the game. And and basically did not give Samford a chance to win the game.
Right. They had an opportunity to tie, but not a chance to win there at the end.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if they tie it and then they go into overtime, and then they can win it.
For sure.